morning. And church family, I got the fencing up here. Josh helped me out with that, but I got the fencing up here this morning because I want to talk about Job's Hedge for just a little bit this morning. And I know it might be a little bit familiar, but I think it'll be helpful to all of us. Job chapter 1. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing first, and then we'll look at this together. Heavenly Father, I feel like the people's tired this morning. Lord, I ask you to please help them this morning to be alert and awake. And Lord, may we put all the distractions away now. And Father, thank you again for time change. Father, now would you please again help the service, again feed us from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, church, Job chapter 1, listen, this is a familiar passage with you. When things are familiar, it's easy not to focus. So if you can try to do that with me this morning, I'll do my best to jump around as well as be very quick to the point this morning. Verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was known for these four things. All right, so here's what it says. He was a man that was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Church, if you mark in your Bible, you'll notice that the same phrase is mentioned in verse number 8, the last part. When God himself, speaking of Job, said he was perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. I want to pick up that in verse number 6 now, as far as Satan himself. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And church, let me just stop for a second here. Satan's still doing that, by the way. You know, I know Satan cannot be omnipresent, okay? Now, obviously, he has a third of the angels, and the Lord uses demons to oppress us. Obviously, if you're saved, he cannot possess you, but he can oppress, he can tempt. And so we refer to the devil. I think sometimes it's definitely the demons of those fallen angels that are with Satan himself. So Satan cannot be everywhere, but Satan is definitely the little g, the god of this world. Satan is doing his best to hinder you or to hurt you as a Christian. And we know that even from the parables when Jesus was talking about the sheep and he talks about how the wolf and he talks about the thief and how they're coming to destroy, to kill. That's what Satan wants for you. Be sober, be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, what's he doing? Walketh about as a roaring lion. Church, he's not some guy with a pitchfork and a tail and horns. This is the devil who is as an angel of light, looks to be right, is doing his best to deceive the world specifically for salvation so that no one goes to heaven and be with God forever. And secondarily for the Christian so that he doesn't tell somebody else how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. All right. Look what happens next here in your Bible in verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, and there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then, verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Verse number 10, hath not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath? Now, obviously, Satan mentions three things that God hedged about Job. And that word hedge means to fence in, to protect, to guard. Verse number 10, hast thou not thou, verse 10, made an hedge about him, Job personally, and about his house, that was his family, and about all that he hath. What those things that he had are mentioned in verse number 2 down to verse number 4. He had sheep, he had camels, he had oxen, he had donkeys. And so God says, hey, listen, you put a hedge around him. Now, Benjamin, Morgan, I want you to help me this morning. If you don't mind, come on up here. You get to be Job for a little bit, all right? Come slide in this little fenced-in area, if you don't mind. Now, he said you need to get in from the bottom. Sorry to tell you that. All right, I can't open the back or it's going to come apart. Now, church family, we're going to pretend for just a moment. Let's slide you up to the front here, if you don't mind. There you go. We're going to pretend for just a moment that this is Job, all right? In just a few moments, he's going to be struck with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, all right? All right, now, church, think for just a moment here. God said, Satan and God are having this dialogue. They're going back and forth. And God says, hey, you notice my servant Job? And he says, I noticed. And I want to tell you what I noticed about him. You're protecting him. You put a hedge around him. Now, church, we cannot see this spiritual hedge around every one of us, but you ought to want that hedge. Because we, in this world today, in the spiritual, we don't see the spirit of things, but Satan's real. And I'm going to tell you, it's bad enough that we have to fight things we do see, like the world and our flesh, as far as the desire to do wrong. But this is a total different. This is totally different with Satan. Satan wants to destroy you as a Christian. Now, church family, follow me for a second here. Yes, Satan wants you to trip up, but I want to tell you, he wants you to do more than just trip up. He wants to take away your influence so that you don't tell anybody about Jesus Christ, so that you do nothing of an eternal value. Raising your children is eternal. telling people about Jesus Christ is eternal. So Satan knows, hey, listen, if I can get them to quit, if I can get them to fall, if I can get them not to serve God, then he has succeeded in keeping what matters most, and that's keeping people out of hell, what matters most stops. Just, I mean, it's not just a matter of you coming to church. It's about you growing in your faith so that you can share your faith with somebody else. God has an end to the means. The means of this congregation is for us to be in the Bible and the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us, that we would grow in our faith and live a Spirit-filled life so that we can be the light that God wants us to be. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Satan does not want that for you. Now, listen, throw that thinking out the window. You don't matter. Get rid of this idea that I don't make that much of a difference. Get rid of this idea that I don't influence very many people. Listen to me. If you're breathing this morning, you have influence. The only person that does not have influence, I don't care what your age is or if you're man or woman, the only person who does not have influence is the person who's not breathing. Listen to me, church family. We look at influence by what we can see and calculate. Okay? There's things you cannot see and things that you cannot calculate. I was talking to Brother Obshendek. We don't see each other very often anymore, but I was talking to Brother Obshendek about 2 weeks ago, and I was in fellowship with him, and he said, this is what he told me. He says, I ran across a fellow that came, I don't remember if he said he came to our church or if he said he met him out, to be honest with you, but he said, I was talking to this particular fella and was witnessing to him, and he says, hey, listen, I know about that. He says, this thing about Jesus, I just want you to know, I know about that. I'll tell you why I know about it. This fellow was talking to Brother Obshendek. He said, my son just died. He said, my son was about 22 years of age, and he committed suicide. He says, but I want to tell you something. The only thing that's helped us through this thing is that there was this guy that came through our trailer park, and his name was Melvin. There are only a few weird Melvins in this world, and we have the one. Now, I have not told Brother Melvin Franklin this story, but that fellow that committed suicide, the dad told Brother Obshendek, the only hope that we have is that there was this preacher guy that came through the trailer park where my son was, and my son accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, I want to tell you something. Those kind of stories, God does not always tell us. The person you talk to, the person you pass the track to, the person you got a chance to witness to, we don't always get to see the end result of those things, but as long as you're breathing, you've got influence.
Amen.
And what happens is this. Satan knows you have influence, and he's going to and fro throughout the world, him and his demons, and they're just doing everything he can not to keep you from going to heaven, because that's settled.
Amen.
If you're saved,
Amen.
No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand.
Amen.
But what Satan is trying to do is he's trying to get you so that you cannot tell another person about Christ, so that you cannot influence somebody in their faith, so you cannot help somebody grow as a Christian. That's what Satan's doing in your life. And you think, well, I'm so incidental. You are not incidental. And I want to tell you why. Because God saw the day you got saved. God's the one that called you. And God's the one that has a perfect and purpose and plan for your life. It's not a matter of, well, I only have, you know, one or two children at home, or I'm not teaching a Sunday school class, or I'm not a deacon. That's not how it works.
Amen.
You're not important because of a classification. You're important because you're a Christian.
Amen.
Satan's doing everything he can, and here he is trying to get into Job, and he can't even get to Job. And he says, God, listen, does Job serve you for naught? You've blessed him like no man on this earth, and the reason I can't do anything is because you put something around him called this hedge. But church family, I want to talk to you for just a few moments. I've always asked in my mind, and again, years and years ago, actually 2006, I shared this thought with you, but I've never forgotten it. Why? Why did Job have a hedge? Why did he have that protection from God? Why did God keep him, his family, and all that he had protected? Why? You say, Pastor Frank, the answer's so easy. He mentions it three times in verse number 1, chapter 1, verse number 8, chapter 1, and then chapter number 2. He mentions that he was perfect. He feared God. He walked uprightly. He eschewed evil. That's the answer. Wait a second. In Job chapter 29, Job says why. I want you to turn your Bible now to Job chapter 29 with me. And let's find out, why did God put a hedge around Job? And Church Family, we know that in chapter number 29, he's already lost all of his children. He's lost all of his wealth. He's lost his health. He has boils. He's lost his friends. The three friends he does have are the ones that are calling him a hypocrite, a liar, and wicked. He's lost it all. God has not showed himself yet to show Job, hey, listen, Job, I know the true story. In Job chapter 29, look what he says now in verse number 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, verse 2 is the key, all right? Verse 2 says, oh, that I were as in months past. Do you understand? Job's problem was not just a day, a week, or even a month. It says months. He says in verse number 2 again, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Now, church, I might have mentioned it in the message, maybe just from your own personal Bible study. You know what the word preserve means. It's the same word for the word hedge in chapter number one. The word preserve means to hedge about, to protect, to guard. So here's what Job's saying in chapter 29. There's no hedge right now, but Job says, I'm thinking back when there was one. He says, I remember the days when God preserved me. He hedged me about. And church, I don't know if you noticed, I can't remember if it's 11 times. I won't count them with you. But in verse number 3, he's going to use the word when again and again and again as he thinks back in time. Look at verse number 3. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Verse 4, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. Verse 10, the nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, and when it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Church family, what's the first word in verse 12? Church family, I don't know if you are reading it like I'm reading it. Job's speaking and he says, listen, I remember when God had a hedge about me, when God preserved me to hedge about, to guard. I remember that. In fact, I remember because of that hedge, I had light in the darkness. I remember when I had that hedge about around me, I had my children around me. I remember the hedge, that hedge when it was around me and protecting me and I was preserved, that God talked to me. And then he uses the word because. Church family, there's three I's that are mentioned next, and I want you to notice all three of them, and I'll tell you the three first, and then I want to just briefly talk about why did Job have a hedge? In verse number 12, he said, because I delivered. In verse number 14, it says, again, using the word because, verse 14, I put on. And then verse number 17, again, can I use the word because? Verse 17, and because I break. I want you to look at those. He used the word I in those three situations. And I want to tell you that I believe that these are the three reasons why God put a hedge of protection around Job. Church family, Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your influence. Satan's real. Amen. I want to tell you something. If you got up this morning, you prayed to God because you believe he's real. I'm just telling you, Satan's just as real. He's real. Pastor, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I don't know that it really matters. Pastor, I'm not married. I'm not sure that it's really significant. Pastor, wait a second, listen here. Can I just tell you that your name's written in heaven, God's prepared a place for you, you're going to be with God forever. You really don't think he's got a purpose for you during the 70 years on this earth? Amen. Satan knows that. Satan wants to do everything he can to get the hedge moved out of the way. And Job says, I know why I had a hedge. I know why that God protected me. I know that I had all those blessings back then. I know why I had them, because the hedge was there, and here's why it was there. Quickly, let's look at these three. Here's what he says. First of all, in verse number 13, because I delivered. Now, church, if you don't mind, because of time's sake, I'm just going to jump through these quickly this morning. But verse number 13, I want you to notice the different people he delivered. In verse number 12, the Bible says, because I delivered, first of all, the poor that cried, and second of all, the fatherless. The third group he calls, and him that had none to help him. The fourth group, verse 13, the blessing of him that was, fourth group, ready to perish, came upon me in the fifth group, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Church, I mean, you know why God said, I put a hedge around Job? God put a hedge around Job, number one, first of all, is because he stopped to help others. Amen. Church, I mean, think for just a second, and again, I'm doing my best this morning. I know some of you are a little tired this morning, and I want the Lord to be pleased, but follow me real quickly for a moment. Think about Job. This is somebody who's wealthy. The Bible tells there was not another man like him in the East, and that wasn't just because of his spirituality, it's because of how God blessed him. He had 10 children. He had all those camels, all those sheep. He was blessed. Why is this rich man stopping to find out the fatherless? How are you doing? Why is he stopping to help the widow? I know you don't have a husband, and so listen, I want to make sure I helped you take care of yourself while you're here. What in the world is the person who had none to help him? I think there's people in this room that are like that. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what kind of problem they're going through in your life. And what's happened is you became so busy to come find your seat in church service, and you're so busy to go get lunch after the service that you fail to stop to help the person in need. The person who comes and sit in a service like here, and the whole service, they're not listening to the message. They're grieving. But no, we're so wrapped up with us that we're not thinking about anybody else. Church, I mean, the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love the Lord. The second greatest commandment is love your neighbor. But don't you find interesting that when God said the second greatest commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself, that when he was talking to the disciples in John chapter 13, verse 34, he says, I give you a new commandment. The old commandment goes back to the Old Testament of loving your neighbor as yourself. What was the new commandment? Jesus says, I want you to love them like I love you. Listen, I'm sorry for you that are struggling this morning, but can I just tell all of us this morning that sometimes we get so wrapped up in our struggle that we forget that everybody else is struggling too. Amen. Listen, we've been praying for Brother Miller. Brother Miller, again, I hope what I say here is not an embarrassment. But to be honest with you, you know, when I shook your hand this morning, my eye is still irritating the fire out of me. I went to shake hands with Brother Miller this morning, and he is struggling with Parkinson's. When I came up to you today, your hand was shaking. I thought to myself, this eye is nothing. Do you understand that there are people who are struggling, and you're going through real problems in your life, but you're not the only one going through problems?
That's right.
You know what Job said? Here's the reason why I have a fence around me. Is because he stopped to think about somebody else other than himself. Christian, Satan wants to destroy you, but I can tell you this one thing for sure based upon what Job said. The one reason God's going to protect you is because you're concerned about somebody else. When those bus workers got up this morning after losing an hour of sleep, and they had to get up a little bit earlier, and they got on a bus, and they went out to try to pick up children and adults to be able to come to church this morning, you know what God says? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put a hedge protection around you. You know why? Because you're thinking about somebody else besides yourself. Just remember, I don't want our church to become just a church, and I know this sounds crazy. I don't want to ever get to the place that it's just us. If we fail to think about others, we fail as a church.
Amen.
It's not about how many people came out to go soul winning. It's about, do we care about the widow, the fatherless, the person who's in need, the person who is ready to perish? Jeremy, do you know what he's... Now, I know this is Old Testament and Jesus Christ hadn't come yet, but Jeremy, we know who's ready to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not
perish.
The person who's about ready to perish is the person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
If you can pass a person on a regular basis and never come to your mind, I wonder if that person's going to heaven. If you can talk to the same person on a regular basis and they know you by name but you've never mentioned Jesus' name, I'm just telling you, you're sacrificing the hedge. Quickly, look at the next thing. Not only we see that he stopped to help others. In verse number 14, he says, I put on. Because, in other words, that hedge, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Church, I mean, that word put on, it means to clothe yourself. You know what Job was saying here? The first thing that Job did is he stopped to help others. But the second thing is Job sought to do right. Hey, listen, I put this coat on this morning. And if you do what I do is you go to your clothing, you say, Lord, what do you want me to wear today? And God shows you. And then you pull that off, but you choose. I believe God can show us what to wear, where to go, what to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. But wait a second here. I still choose. Amen. I pulled the gray coat down this morning and I took the hanger off and set it on the bed. I chose to be clothed. I chose to put this coat on. You know what Job chose? I put on righteousness. He chose to do right.
Amen.
Christian, this morning, are you choosing to do right? And by the way, if you choose not to do right, you choose to do wrong.
Amen.
It's a choice in our life. The reason God put a hedge of protection around Job is because he sought to do right. We as Christians should do the same thing. And it's very interesting that before God mentions Job's family in Job chapter 1, verse number 2, before God mentions Job's riches in verse number 3, the very first thing that God mentions about Job is his spirituality. He was perfect. He was upright. He feared God and eschewed evil. You know why? Because Job made a choice of what he was inwardly before God ever blessed him outwardly. You want your kids to turn out for God? Get clothed. Choose. You know, those kids are precious, are they not, the babies? Matthew, Michaela, how old's Jackson now? How many other ones do I have, two and under? You, babies, raise your hand if you got kids. You have a two and under? Oh, man, I thought he was older than that. Oliver. Sam, which one do you have? You have two? Two and under? Wow. Anybody else? Two and under? Yes. Malachi's two and under. Anybody else? Are they all on this side of the auditorium? You guys need to get with the program. Right. Clayson? Anybody else? Am I missing anybody? You know, those babies are cute, aren't they not? Do you know why sometimes they want to call a baby dedication, it's not a baby dedication? Because that baby doesn't have a choice.
Amen.
It's a parent dedication. I just wish these kids would turn out for God. Well, then, get dressed.
Amen.
You know, the choices that we make as parents obviously affect our children, and Job made some choices, and Job chose to be perfect and upright, to fear God, to hate evil. He chose that. And guess what? God said, I'm going to protect your kids because you chose right. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect all that you have. Can I just tell you that the reason Job had the hedge is, first of all, because he stopped to help others, but second of all, because he chose to do right. Last of all, I want you to notice in verse number 17, he says, I break the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. Church, I mean, you can read the rest there, but I want you to notice there, he says in that verse, he says, verse number 17, and I break the jaws of the wicked. Church, I mean, he didn't say, I'm going to break their back. He said, I'm going to break their jaw. The idea of speaking, when we use our jaw for speaking, he says, listen, I'm going to stop the cursing, the criticizing, the corrupt speech. I'm going to stop the person who's even talking bad. Here's what I see. This is what I see when I look at Job. I'm almost done. Stay with me now. Job had God's hedge because, number one, because he stopped to help others. Job had God's hedge protection because he stood against sin. But I look at that, and when it says, I break the jaws of the wicked, he stood against sin. He didn't just not have sin in his own life. He didn't just let sin go do its own thing around him either. The word wicked is always referring to a lost person, evil man referring to a saved but backslidden Christian. This idea, he didn't even let the lost just act like there was no God. He says there is a God. He didn't let the lost allow the lost to permeate him. He permeated them. I'm telling you, we're living in such a society of being politically correct that we don't want to say anything that's going to offend somebody else. Can I just tell you, God's word offends people. And I know our disposition, and we say, listen, it should never be our disposition that offends people. It's going to be our position that offends people. It should not be what we think. It should be what the Bible says. But there are things that the Bible teaches. Lawrence, Kansas does not embrace the word of God. But when a Christian embraces the word of God, you stand out and you say, well, I don't want to be offensive. Church, I mean, God's word can be offensive. Job stood against sin. Why are we ashamed to speak against homosexuality in this town? I won't mention his name because I know what his name is, but sometimes I'll study over at Chick-fil-A, and there's a fellow over there that's trying to be a transgender or a homosexual. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how all the right terminology as far as what he wants to be. He changed his name to a girl's name. I shouldn't say that. Maybe his name was that. Maybe his parents called. I don't know. But from the appearance of it, that he changed his name. And but I go in there and I study. And I open my Bible. He'll bring me my food to me. And I'm always kind to him. For the first time, just the other day, he actually talked to me and had a conversation. I said, so you have a busy weekend? He says yes. He says, me and my partner... And he makes sure, he kind of really wants to push his agenda. Me and my partner, we purchased a house here in town, and we're gonna be moving this week. But it's the first time he talked to me. And I never refer to him as a her. I always refer to him as a he, because that's what he is. But I treat him the same every time I see him. And I don't belittle him. I don't say, listen here, you queer. Stop acting abnormal and act like a normal. I don't do that. And I want to tell you something. There was a day that's what people did, and that's why they were in the closet. Amen. And now they're no longer in the closet, and if you say anything, you're the one that's in trouble. The Bible's very clear that that's not natural. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you've got relatives that are that way, and now it's okay. It's still not okay.
That's right. Amen.
But God never called us to condemn them. He called us to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
And now I'm getting a relationship as far as being able to talk to him. But before, I'd have my Bible and out there, he would avoid me like the plague. Just me, we don't have to be ashamed about what the Word of God says.
Amen.
We're not supposed to be mean. We're not supposed to be critical. We're not supposed to be condemning. But we're supposed to stand against sin. Job says, hey, listen, those wicked, I put it right to their jaw. That's not correct. That's not right. We get so ashamed and so, you know, embarrassed about the way we dress and the way we talk and the way we act. We've got nothing to be embarrassed about. We're just following the king's command. Elijah stood against the Jezebel. Stephen stood against the crowd that stoned him. Micaiah stood against Ahab, who imprisoned him. Jeremiah stood against Zedekiah. Peter and John went against the high priest and were beaten. John the Baptist stood against Herod and got it, lost his head. Can I tell you that it doesn't always end like we want it to end, but it's still right? Why did Job have a hedge? Because he stopped to help others. Because he sought to do right. Because he stood against sin. And I look at chapters 1 and 2, and I think to myself, well, what good was the hedge? I'll tell you what good the hedge was. Satan couldn't get to him.
Amen.
Christian, I'm going to tell you something. Your demise one of these days is not going to be because of you, the world or the flesh. It's because there's a real devil, and he wants to destroy you.
Amen.
You ought to ask every day, God, would you please... Would you please put a hedge of protection around me and my family?
Yes.
Would you put a hedge of protection around our church?
Yeah.
And I want to tell you how it's going to happen. You stop to help others.
Amen.
You seek after righteousness. You stand against sin. I think Jeremiah 29 is just as clear as can be. I want that protection, do you?
Amen.
Ask God to help you. But by the way, It's not just asking for the hedge. It's doing what Job did in order to get it. With your heads bowed and your eyes are closed this morning.